welcome to Undivided on this Monday. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. All week, we're going to have a special week of episodes. Newsflash, this isn't live because right now I'm sunbathing in Florida, taking a much-needed vacation while we transition into a new studio for the podcast. But that doesn't mean we cancel shows. We don't cancel. We have a state to save. We can't cancel shows just because I need a vacation. So all week we have a special series of shows with in-depth interviews, I think with people you will find interesting, on topics you will find interesting. Our guest today is Jim Wohl. She is the chair of the Washington State Republican Party, and it's an interesting time for the party. They had a state convention a couple weekends ago, and I was very clear on the show. I thought it was a little bit of a train wreck. There certainly is a lot of dissent within the state GOP. They gave their endorsements in some of the key races to candidates who I guess I would characterize as the underdogs, who don't have as much name recognition, who haven't raised as much money, and who will have a more difficult time winning in the primary. And one of the races that's obviously gotten a lot of attention is the race between Dave Reichert and Semi Byrd for governor. Semi Byrd ended up getting the Republican Party's endorsement in the race for governor, despite the fact that, you know, when it comes again to fundraising, to polling, to name recognition, he's really not on the same wavelength as Dave Reichert. And also, as I'm going to talk to Jim Walsh about, I wasn't thrilled with the behavior of Semi Byrd and Semi Byrd supporters at the convention. So Jim Walsh was nice enough to come in, and we talked about all of it. Jim Walsh, how are things? Fine?
They're great, Brandy. I love what I'm doing. I love what's going on right now in Washington.
Okay.
I mean, it's not always pretty. It's not always easy, but change isn't easy. It's difficult. It's complicated. It's messy. But I think we're heading in a better direction.
Wow. Okay. So, love you, like in a very, you know, non-creepy way.
Bro way.
Bro way, yes, 100%. And I also expect you to have on your best GOP chair hat during this interview. But after the convention, you kind of made fun of the media for calling it chaotic, which is why I named my Sunday show that week, Chaos, 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 just for you. If it was not chaotic, what was it?
Well, it was definitely spirited. It was passionate. it was real. I mean, the word I keep coming back to is real. You know, what people said before this Washington State Republican convention was, we're sick of scripted conventions. We're sick of political conventions that aren't real, where everything's already decided, where it's all carefully choreographed minute by minute. We want real. We want a real convention. And it wasn't just Republicans saying this, Brandy. You've probably seen it in the media. You know, some opinion makers were mocking political conventions. All of them. Mm-hmm. Not any one party, that they're these sort of stultifying,
like a coronation.
Coronations, not interesting. Ratings are down. So our idea was, okay, let's do a real convention where there is no script, where there is a, you know, there's an order of the day, there's a rough agenda, but the people, the delegates on the floor, they're going to decide how it goes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a lot of people were nervous about that for months. And of course, the planning of this went back years,
right? I mean,
before I was chair. But I liked the idea, and I liked it all along. And when I became chair, you know, people did say, well, what do you think about this convention? It's going to be really weird. It's going to be complicated and crazy. Mm. I was like, bring it. This is good. We're going to make a real convention. And we had a record number of people on the floor, a record number of delegates. We originally had about 2,200 registered.
Mm-hmm.
About 18 and change, 1,850 or so were on the floor.
Yeah.
And so we had a few no-shows, but still at 1,850, it was the largest political convention in our state's history. And it showed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was big, it was loud, it was raucous. People were really happy. They were really angry. They alternated back and forth. We had to do some training. We had to teach people.
Training in what? Civility?
Well, yeah, we got there eventually. We had some bumps. But I mean, parliamentary procedure, you know, Robert's Rules of Order, you know, people would call the question, and that's a parliamentary maneuver. They didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
So we had to do stuff on the fly there, and it was fun, and it was real, real, real. Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, you can have rules and rules of order and all of that, but that doesn't stop people from acting buffoonish. And it's my contention that there were a lot of people at that convention who acted like children. Do you disagree with that?
No, I mean, but Brandy, that's real. I mean, do people think that when this state was founded and this country was founded, everybody was, you know, on their best behavior? Not hardly. I mean, we didn't have any walking stick mm-hmm. thrashings in Spokane. Yeah. That happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
We didn't have any dueling pistols drawn. That happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's the thing, Brandy. It's a bit hypocritical about people who say that they want to protect democracy and they want to protect the traditions mm-hmm. and they want to protect the republic, all good intentions. But having democracy and having an active, involved republic, it's not pretty.
Now, I agree with that. And I agree when we hearken back to the founding of this country, and I mean blood that was shed to try to protect some of the things that you're talking about there. What I found different, I'm just giving you my honest opinion, and I know I'm not a member of the Republican Party, so I can sit here in my podcast studio and I can judge how everything went down. I get it. I fully understand. This, if that had been a fight where it was like Republicans versus Democrats, like the election and everything that's at stake, but it's like you have a room full of people who agree on 95% of things, and they're going at each other's throats over a nominating process that isn't going to dictate who wins in August. It felt, and here's where the point of it, when I covered this decision from the WAGOP to move to a nominating process when I was on the mainstream news, what Caleb Heimlich, the former chair, said over and over, it was about party unity. It was about uniting ahead of the primary. So when I think of the purpose of it versus what I saw over the weekend, I thought that was not a uniting convention at all.
I disagree, but it...
You think people came away from it united?
In order... Well, they certainly were energized.
Energized.
Look, if we're going to be united, if we're going to unite mm-hmm. and rally behind good candidates, that has to mean something. I mean, you have to give the people the chance to speak and be heard in order to buy into uniting. You can't prepackaged a united mm-hmm. front. It has to be real. People have to choose to unite. Yeah. You can't dictate being united from a podcast studio yes. or a corner office or anywhere else.
Yeah.
It has to come from the bottom up. And in order to get to a place where people feel the agency, the personal reason to make a unification meaningful, there has to be a little disunity first. And we're at that point. We will get to the unity part. But first, people have to believe the system isn't rigged and that it's real. And that's what happened. I mean, this was real. I promised people real, unscripted, mm-hmm. no BS politics. And I'm delivering that. The Republican Party isn't like the other party in this state, where everything's prepackaged, the deals are literally made behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. They're not smoke-filled roomed anymore, but I guess they're vegan-filled rooms. I don't know what to call them. Yeah. There's something.
Patchouli?
Patchouli. Good. Thank you, Brandy. Yeah. I'm going to use that from now on. Uh-huh. Patchouli-filled rooms. Where they make their deals. We don't do that.
Yeah.
We show our colors for all to see, and you can criticize us, you can try to mock us, but we're real.
Yeah.
And the other guys, they're not real, Brandy.
Well, let's not act like they have some perfectly a party that's, you know, all together. Like, no, I guarantee, I don't know if, what kind of a convention they're having, but the left-wing anti-Semites will be there in full force disrupting some things. So I laugh at the Democrats being like, oh, the GOP's full of chaos. I'm like, weren't your people just like blocking a road to an interstate and so they can just go away? My response to the GOP thing has nothing to do with Democrats. They're a disaster of their own. You only get one retirement. Do not risk it, especially in 2024 with a crazy presidential election, global unrest, unpredictable markets. You work too hard for your retirement. Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital specialize in managing risk. I suggest having a free Know Your Risk portfolio review with Zach and his team at Bulwark. He also hosts the Know Your Risk radio podcast. The review is just a good way to see if you're overexposed to risk. In fact, there's no obligation. They don't even let you invest with them at your first meeting. So whether you become a client or not, I can assure you, you'll leave much more informed about the risks to your retirement. Schedule your free risk review now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Seeing all this crazy stuff going on in the world, more than ever, I just want to focus on my family and my friends and building meaningful memories together. And hey, it wouldn't hurt if we build memories in a place where it's sunny 300 days a year. If that sounds appealing to you, check out the grand opening of Natchez RV Resort Phase 2, May 18th and May 19th. The Phase 2 grand opening weekend features 21 extra large RV lots with water, power, sewer, and grand opening pricing starting at only $79,900. Natchez RV Resort has year-round family fun, fishing, hunting, snow skiing, golf, river rafting, outstanding wine tasting, and more. You can enjoy the brand new 4,300 square foot clubhouse with a gourmet kitchen, great room, fitness center. The swimming pool and hot tub are coming soon. Natchez RV Resort Phase 1 sold out quickly, so make sure to reserve your showing for the grand opening weekend, May 18th and 19th. 800-422-6009 or NatchezRVResort.com. You know, there's this phrase, we the people, that keep being used by, I think, semi-bird supporters and all of that. And it's like, isn't the fairest way to give the people a voice just to let them decide in the primary election who's going to move forward?
And that's part of the process, yeah. Brandy.
I mean, but you guys asked them to sign a thing that would say they'd drop out, and some are.
Well, some are, some aren't.
Do you expect them to? The candidates who signed a pledge that if they did not get the party endorsement, they would drop out. Do you expect them to drop out?
Well, if you sign a pledge, you should honor the pledge you signed. Hmm. As I said on the floor at one point, we really don't bind people in the Republican Party. We are the free thinkers. We are the small L libertarians. We believe in personal agency and independence and personal liberty. Now, the pledge you talked about, I mean, that's one part of a long and multi-part candidate vetting and review process. And people could choose to sign it or not. What the party did was simply reported. Did they sign it? Did they not sign it? Mm-hmm. Not signing the pledge didn't mean you couldn't be considered as a candidate. You could still be. It was one part of a lengthy vetting report that, you know, every candidate had the chance to participate in. Most did.
Yeah.
Some answered all the questions. Some answered a few of them. It was a mixed bag.
Yeah. Let's talk about the race for governor. I actually have some criticism of both Dave and Semi in how the convention was handled. Let's start with Dave, right? That's fair. Everybody knows I support him, but doesn't mean that I agree with everything he does. I have said I thought he should have at least shown up. And a lot of people came for him to volunteer for him with their own money. I thought he should have at least shown up. Now, he came out with a statement calling, I did agree with his decision not to seek the endorsement because I thought what was happening was insane. But he came out and said basically that it was a deceptive process. Was there deceit? Was his campaign deceived in some way?
No.
So I'm sure you've talked to them. What did he feel was deceitful?
Well, I'm still not clear on that. They also said that assurances were made. I know that no assurances were made, at least not from actual party officials. Now, maybe assurances were made from some supporter or somebody else, but no. And no rules were broken either, Brandy.
I think one of the things they're taking issue with, which we'll get into, Semi Bird was disqualified through your rules from receiving the endorsement, correct?
No.
Oh, okay. He wasn't disqualified from receiving an endorsement?
The candidate committee didn't have the brief to qualify or disqualify candidates. Mm-hmm. What it had the brief to do was say that a candidate passed its review process or didn't.
Hmm. And he did not.
He didn't pass because the committee concluded that he had not been forthcoming completely about issues in his background. Mm-hmm. Now, this did not mean that he was necessarily, you know, removed from the ballot to be endorsed. Mm-hmm. The candidate committee made a separate decision of not rating Semi Bird as pass, essentially, that the information that had been disclosed in mainstream media reports just a couple of days before the convention didn't give delegates the chance to digest it and understand it and mm-hmm. make an informed decision, and didn't give the candidates, either of them, or really any candidate, time to figure out how to respond or make a clear response about that information, and that the best thing to do was simply remove that vote from the agenda.
So not endorse anyone not endorse in the governor's anybody. Race. And you thought that was maybe the best thing in the moment?
I didn't have an opinion. That was the result of the candidate vetting committee, and it was in order. I mean, it was in their brief to mm-hmm. do that. And so I supported presenting the report, but it was really up to the members of that committee. Brandy, we're not fooling. We are not a top-down organization. Mm-hmm. I trusted the members of that committee to come up with the best conclusions about how to handle the candidate vetting process. And again, they weren't charged with qualifying or disqualifying candidates. That term has been thrown around a lot, and whoever started using that term hadn't read our rules.
Do you think that's where the Dave Ryker campaign felt confused, or like there was an expectation that if Semi Bird hadn't met the background criteria that were set forth, that he would not be able to get the endorsement?
Well, that's something different. I mean, that would be a subjective judgment call if they thought if he doesn't get a pass, then he won't. You mean he would be barred from a seat?
Yeah, they were never told that.
No.
Okay.
Neither of the governor candidates was going to be on the ballot if the committee's report had been accepted as offered. It was amended, which was in order. That was a proper thing to do. And it was amended to basically peel it back to where it had been before the new information was considered. And that was where both Bird and Reichert were on the ballot and would be voted on for an endorsement.
So basically the delegates just wanted to move past. Like, the delegates wanted to make an endorsement even though the committee had said that Bird wasn't forthcoming, and even though Reichert had withdrawn his name from consideration.
Well, you're kind of mixing up the chronology there a little bit. But
correct me.
But yes. All right. So the sequence went like, the committee decided first that Bird would not get a pass recommendation. Mm-hmm. And again, this was all recommendation. The committee didn't have the power to, you know, decide or not decide who'd be on the ballot. But the committee was prepared to make essentially a do not pass our process recommendation. Mm-hmm. And then a separately decided, and there's really not enough time for the delegates to make an informed decision based on this new material, this new stuff. So let's just take it off the ballot, give people more time, and we'll, at some future point, the party can decide what to do. Then I guess someone talked to the Reichert campaign at that point, I don't know, and said, hey, it looks like, you know, Semi's not going to be given a pass recommendation. Now, if they said that means Bird will be disqualified, they were giving the Reichert campaign bad information, because there was no scenario. Those two decisions by the committee were not linked. The decision to give him a do not pass recommendation didn't mean he wasn't going to be on the ballot. He might have still been on the ballot with the committee saying do not pass. Yeah. And if he had enough supporters on the floor, they could have disregarded that recommendation, which is effectively what they did.
Yeah, Brandy. That's what I was wondering.
They said, we don't care. We still like him. We want him to be our candidate. We're going to vote for him. That is effectively what happened.
Yeah.
What got amended in the report was the decision to table the vote altogether and basically wait till later after this new information had been processed and everybody'd gotten to read it and understand it and make some kind of response. That part got overturned. And the vote went ahead as originally planned. And then the Reichert campaign after that made their announcement saying they didn't seek the endorsement anymore. Fine, they can do that. But the decision of the body, of the delegates on the floor, was go back to where we were before the report, which meant Reichert's name appeared on the ballot anyway, even though he'd requested to be taken off or not considered or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening is when the vote came to the body to take, the ballot was as it had appeared before the new information. So both Reichert and Byrd appeared on the ballot.
And Byrd got how many?
72%. Reichert got approximately 28. I mean, no, there's always rounding in the numbers, but that was approximately the breakdown.
Yeah.
So we followed the process. It was spirited. It was heated at moments.
Yep.
The floor, the body, the delegates definitely didn't like the committee report that said Byrd gets a do not pass recommendation and we want to delay and take off the agenda, the governor vote altogether. Yeah. And the chair of the Clark County GOP, who was a delegate and a delegation leader there, very ably, following the rules, made a motion to amend that report, and that motion passed with a strong margin.
Yeah, so we can talk about procedure and how all of that went down and it being in line. I think there's procedure and then there's what everybody saw on TVW and the clips on social media. I want your character, because you were sitting front row. You were up there for all of it. You were on the dais.
Well, I'm worse than front row. I was up on the dais, looking at the crowd.
So that moment, and the video's all over the place, Sammy Byrd's in the front row, and, you know, the committee gives its report, and the crowd starts booing and jeering. And from my perspective, from the video, Sammy was egging them on, pointing at the woman, what's her name, on the dais, saying, this isn't America.
The chair of the candidate committee is the vice chair of the state party. Her name is Lisa Evans.
So she was up
there. She is an incredibly brave and rational and thorough woman.
Do you think that crowd treated her poorly?
Again, these are such judgment calls. Brandy.
No, it's not, Jim.
Yeah, it is.
You have a moral compass. Do you think that the way that crowd treated her was appropriate?
No. I think they overreacted to her report because I don't think all of them understood what the report meant.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was incredibly emotional and, again, real. It was raw. Those supporters felt like something rotten was going on. Now, we didn't have time to explain to all of them what was going on. And this was some of the thought, I think, behind the committee's recommendation to table the election and wait. But clearly at that point, the floor belonged to Sammy Byrd, and they wanted to vote. And so they were able to vote as they wanted to do.
Do you think Sammy Byrd acted appropriately on the floor?
I don't know what his gestures were. Frankly, I didn't see them. I wasn't looking
at
him.
But you've seen the video.
I've seen the video. I mean, I mean, he could have been, I don't, you'd have to ask Sammy Byrd what he meant. I mean, it could have meant, you know, be heard or speak up. I don't know what he meant. You know, the floor definitely belonged to Byrd. And that is a surprise because I knew it was trending Byrd's way, just anecdotally from talking to delegates beforehand, but I thought it was a lot closer than it turned out being. And I think the question is, how did it go from looking like it was close, a week or 10 days before the convention to not being that close on the floor.
Yeah. I just can't see, and I'm not trying to put you in a tough spot. I know you have a job to do, and I appreciate all the explanations you're giving. I'm just looking at it from the outside in. I cannot see Dave Reichert goading on people to yell at a woman standing at a podium. Can't see it. Is that the way you want to, you're the gubernatorial candidate that your party has endorsed to behave?
No, but I'm not sure that's what happened. I mean, I don't know what he was intending in his action. You know, the floor of a real convention is not a country club, Brandy.
I'm not saying
and
it has to be.
A Republican form of government is not a country club. And I think there's a misimpression that participant government is always, you know, the Harvard Hasty Pudding Club. That's not what it is. There are people who are passionately motivated by what they see as a horrible direction Washington State is going, where crime is rampant, where families are being mistreated, where parents are being told they don't have any say in what their minor children are experiencing at school or at the doctor's office, where our tax policy and our fiscal house is in disorder. And they've been living with this for years, Brandy, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. You know, I feel their pain. I feel their emotions. And it's ridiculous for people to think they can pile bad policy on top of bad policy, bad law on top of bad law, and the free people of this state, the citizens of this state, will simply take it. At some point, those citizens become enraged. And we want to find healthy channels for them to vent that frustration, that rage. And we want to help pivot that frustration and rage into productive action.
Yeah.
I would rather have people angry, even shaking their fists at me on the floor of a political convention than blocking traffic on I-5. You can criticize the convention for being not pretty and not attractive, but that's the right venue for political rage.
And don't treat me like I haven't spoken out about the interstate.
I know.
And that's the thing is, like, I mean, I've been, for the 72 hours after the convention, Semi-Byrd supporters were the most vicious people to me on social media. I could say stuff about Bob Ferguson and all that, but it's like, how dare I not support Semi-Byrd? And so what I saw at that convention, what I saw in the aftermath, was the kind of purity test demands, fringe behavior that I see from the far left toward people who don't agree with them all the time. And that's what kills me, is all the things you talked about. We're on the same page. I'm on the same team as you guys. I might not be a Republican, but every single issue in the state that you just articulated, I'm on the same team about. So what I saw at that convention was 2,000 people who should have been united against Bob Ferguson, united against the single party rule in Olympia, but were tearing each other apart because they supported candidates who are this far apart on policy issues.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't see the part where we sang America the Beautiful.
America the Beautiful is what, like, you know.
And I'm sorry you didn't see the part where when I talked about defeating Bob Ferguson or left-wing fringe politicians like that in December, the 2,000 people roared in unified approval for that.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
You know what I'm talking about, Jim.
I know that the mainstream media focuses on divisiveness no matter what they say.
I'm not the mainstream media.
No, but you said what you saw. Did you watch the whole convention?
On TVW, did I watch all 2 days of the convention? No.
Did you watch
a lot of it?
Did you watch coverage?
I watched some very mundane stuff from the convention too. I'm not saying the whole thing was a shit show, but it kills me inside that because Dave Reichert has been pegged as some rhino, that the viciousness directed at him, directed at people who dare support him, is more prevalent than a united front to get the most terrifying prospect our state has faced in years to make sure he doesn't hit the governor's office. That's what freaks me out.
What you are describing is the kind of Potemkin village of a convention that I'm not going to be part of.
Yeah.
I'll take the messy. I'll take the real. Because, Brandy, the messy and the real is how we build real change. You don't build real change out of phony unity in a scripted, phony convention.
Yeah.
It's my job as the state party chair to bring that rage to a place where it channels into productive action.
I have been urging you guys to take the First Mark challenge. Look, we all need insurance, right? Why not have someone handle your insurance needs for you for free, making sure that every year you have the best rate, that you have insurance to cover what's happening in your life? Casey in Covington took the First Mark challenge. He said, I want to thank you for telling us to check out First Mark. I did the First Mark challenge a couple weeks ago after receiving a ridiculous renewal statement from my insurance. We made the switch to policies with First Mark and walked away with slightly better homeowners insurance for the same price, nearly down to the dollar, and they managed to save us 37% off our auto quote for the same coverage. He said, right now, every dollar counts. I could not agree more. So take some time, schedule time to take the First Mark challenge today. I promise you, you will not regret it. And the best part is, you never pay them a dime for their services. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com, they work for you. Will the Fed drop interest rates or not? That is the question for a lot of home sellers right now. But as we await that decision, and a lot of it will frankly have to do with an election year and how much pressure the president is putting on the Fed to drop interest rates, there's still stuff you can do to get your home ready for the market. Go to sellwithwes.com. Start by asking Wes for a free market analysis. You can even plug your address in and see how much your home is worth using their home value calculator. It might be worth more than you think. And talk to Wes about their Listing Boost Concierge Service. So what that means is if you need some cosmetic upgrades to your home, they can come in, they can manage those projects, they can even help pay for those upgrades up front. SellWithWes.com, SellWithWes.com, a better way to sell your home.
This convention, early in the election year, is designed to give me and give the candidates time to channel that emotion, that raw emotion, into productive action.
Yeah.
And we will do that. And we've talked a lot about the governor race, and I understand that. But look, there was, you know, strong support for Raul Garcia, a U.S. Senate candidate who is aligned with Dave Reichert.
He remained relatively unscathed in the process.
And we had very promising, damn near 100% support for Pete Serrano, for state attorney general. You know, again, a place where there could have been more dissent and there wasn't. You know, we had some great points. I'll go to another race, one of the statewide executive position races that was not as even clear-cut as Serrano's, which, I mean, he has, the guy is like universally loved right of center and is beginning to reach out to middle and even left of center. So put Serrano aside, go to the superintendent of schools race, the OSPI primary there, the endorsement race.
You guys endorse someone I've never heard of before.
Yeah, but he's a really good candidate. He is a temperamentally moderate, but philosophically conservative, experienced school board member from the Peninsula School District in West Pierce County. And a guy who's been keenly involved in the so-called conservative caucus within WASDA, the School Directors Association, the conservative caucus, which has become a real power for good reform within WASDA. I mean, he's not the nominal head of it, but he was one of the founders of it. This is a guy, and more than anything, Brandy, and his name is David Olson. What Olson did that the better-known options didn't do is he talked to almost all of the delegates, not quite all, but many of them. He drove around the state and went and met with them, sometimes in groups, sometimes one-on-one, and talked on the phone a lot with them and listened to what they wanted.
Right.
He worked, and he's one guy. This is superintendent of schools. This is not the kind of race where you got a big staff of people.
Yeah.
He worked the convention the way a candidate should work a convention. And that's the thing about a real convention, Brandy, is There are certain skills, tools you have to have and use to succeed at a real unscripted convention. And you can't fake it. If you're not into it, I understand not every candidate's into that kind of one-on-one, real grassroots, real elbow grease type of campaigning, then don't do it. Mm-hmm. We have candidates for Congress and for some statewide races who just said a month ago, it's not my scene, I'm not going to do it. Sometimes they weren't as charitable as that, but they didn't want to be part of the convention. Okay, fine. Right. That's not your cup of tea. You want to run a different kind of campaign that's more a media-driven campaign? Do that. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be part of the convention, be part of the convention and bring the right tools to the convention process. David Olson, the endorsed candidate for superintendent of public instruction, did that. One guy, one vehicle, going around and talking to people. And it worked.
Yeah. And I'm not knocking him and saying, I just... There were a few candidates endorsed who even I have never heard of. And so through those endorsements, my concern is that, one, candidates are going to drop out because they're going to honor this pledge. Candidates who would have been more appealing in a general election fight.
Well, how do you know they'd be more appealing if you don't know the one who got the endorsement?
Well, because the fact that I am in this space so much and have never heard of him tells me that he has a very uphill battle with name recognition, which is critical to winning a race. Is it not?
Well, we'll help him with that. That's what the state party does.
Sue Keel, who got the endorsement over Jamie Herrera Butler for Commissioner of Public Lands, I don't know who that is. And not to say I don't care to know, but my concern is that they endorsed the underdogs. They endorsed the less mainstream. That's fair to say, right? It was a revolt against what they consider to be rhinos and mainstream Republicans.
All right, you know,
come on.
A few people use rhino, but most.
It was shouted at Jamie Herrera Butler when she's up on stage.
She voted to impeach the president in the same party.
Yeah, but I get it. She's got a whole long conservative track record. She's smart as a whip, and she knows a lot about the environmental issues.
No doubt about
that,
and we'll see how she does going forward. I don't think she's announced she's giving up the race.
Have you hogtied yourselves to spending your precious funds on candidates who you and I both know have not a snowball's chance in hell of getting past this primary?
Well, you and I, we know. We do know.
Jim, I love Jim for the record, but like, I mean, it's hard because I'm trying to have a legitimate. Semi Bird can't get through the primary, Jim.
That is conventional wisdom.
Do you believe that he can get through the primary?
He can. Will he? That I don't know.
Do you believe he will?
I believe he has a better chance to do it now than he did a week ago.
So here's what I'm saying is, no knock against Semi, but this is someone who has only gotten 1,700 unique endorsements in, what, 16 months? Or unique donations. So if this is a movement of we the people are to... Well, you just have all these people who want to donate, but they're just waiting to see if you got the endorsement in the last 17 months?
We're going to find out.
You know what I mean, though? So now you guys don't, you have Democrats with a war chest. And they're putting forth candidates who they think can win. And then you guys are out of some like revolt against a non-existent mainstream, are putting through, giving it sole endorsements and your money and your, to people who I don't even know. I've never even heard of, Jim.
Brenda, you are a very small focus group.
Thank you. But I don't think that's fair because here's the thing. I am a split ticket voter, although probably not in 2024. I'll give you that one.
Good. Thank you.
I am a suburban woman. I'm pro-choice. And so to me, it's like, I am the voter. Jim, I am the voter that you need to win over. And I'm telling you, like, those endorsements make no sense to me.
Okay.
See, I'm just shouting statements at Jim and like expecting him to respond. But do you feel like some of this money is just going to be wasted and pissed away?
Well, I don't know what money you're talking about.
Do you have any money?
Yeah, we got some money.
But that's what I'm saying. You don't have a lot, not compared to Democrats.
Well, I don't know. Go check your PDCs and FECs. I think we're okay.
You're okay, but you're willing to spend money propping up the campaign of candidates who have not been able to raise money on their own. And who have less of a chance of getting through the primary.
Look at what we did last fall with the school board races that we supported. Our power, our superpower as a state party is not wiring money into candidates' accounts. So we generally don't do that. What we do is we empower the candidate to be better at everything mm-hmm. he or she does. We help the candidate do his own fundraising in a better way, in a better informed way, with better data, in a better structured way between direct mail and online fundraising and personal phone calls. We help them be more effective. And when that works, it works really well.
Mm-hmm.
We are able to help candidates at all levels be a force multiplier for them.
But you cannot help, if they didn't get the endorsement, you cannot help them, right? By your own rules from now until
Correct.
The primary.
When there is no endorsement, we can help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing people need to understand. When there's no endorsement, we can help everybody who's what we consider a bona fide Republican candidate. We have
okay.
a process for determining what that means. When we do have an endorsement, we can only help the endorsed mm-hmm. Republican candidate. And the candidates who know how to use the force multiplying we offer are very successful. The ones who aren't as good at using mm-hmm. it will struggle because that struggle was baked into the DNA of their campaigns.
Yeah.
We help restructure. We'll do some gene therapy and help them restructure the DNA of their campaigns. But we don't run candidates' campaigns, and we don't wire money into their campaign accounts.
Mm-hmm.
We are a force multiplier. We are an extension of their campaigns. We help them do better, and we will do that for every mm-hmm. endorsed candidate, and some will run with it, and some will walk with it, mm-hmm. and some will stumble over it, and that's the way it is.
Now, if you shun these other Republicans who didn't get the endorsement...
We don't shun anyone, Brandy.
Well,
can
they come to state events and speak? GOP events?
Well, they could come to the event.
But they can't speak?
Well, it depends on which event, but... we don't close the doors to them, but we have endorsed candidates. I mean, our mm-hmm. endorsement has to mean something.
Well, that's what I mean, is like, you're not going to, watch GOP event, and like, here's our endorsed candidate, but also here's this other guy who we didn't endorse. They can't, you're not going to hold them up in the same way. Mm-hmm. But like, after the primary, if those are the ones who make it through, is it like, all water under the bridge, you know, and now?
Short answer, yes.
Huh. Okay. And all the candidates will be fine with that, I assume. Because they'll get help.
I can't speak for all the candidates.
I'm just mind blown by this whole thing. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm acting crazy, but like Dave Reichert, let's totally try to be positive.
You are really focusing on that one governor race, but go
it's
ahead.
It's the most important thing, Jim.
I think picking up some legislative seats is as important, but I'm biased. I'm in the legislature.
You'd have to pick up a lot to make a difference.
Bob you have Ferguson, to pick up seats to make a difference.
The reason I don't care about Dave, let me be clear. And I've told this to Dave to his face at an event. I have no loyalty to Dave Reichert. I have no loyalty to your party. My single thing I care about most is making sure that Bob Ferguson never steps foot in the governor's mansion.
Well, you and I are
we have the
walking
same goal.
In the same
That's
path
the thing
there.
Is we have the same goal, right? I'm worried that this convention is a road bump where you can't afford a single road bump. That's what I
think.
I
think this convention is an energizing and clarifying mm-hmm. event.
If maybe, by energizing you mean
maybe
really
even,
getting people pissed off at me.
Maybe
yeah.
even cathartic for people who might otherwise not be involved in the mm-hmm. process at all. The overwhelming majority of the delegates on the floor, those 1,850-odd mm-hmm. people, it was the first time they'd ever been to a political convention.
I like that. That's cool.
And so... Were they rough about the process? Yeah, all right. But they are learning. And it's my job to help them learn. Help them channel their rage, channel their emotions, not onto the lanes of I-5.
Not onto me either. I'm a nice lady.
I'm a nice guy.
I know.
Have a thick skin. Come on, you're in
no,
the arena.
No, I'm just a girl.
Well, you're not just a girl.
Yeah.
Look, this is an opportunity. This is raw material. You went to Joanne's Political Fabrics and you bought a bolt of really cool material and you got to make a dress out of it.
Yeah.
And the material is really great. You got to make the dress out of it.
Hmm.
And I think the dress is going to end up being really, really elegant and great.
That was a weird metaphor, but I
don't so much.
But let me ask you this about Dave, and we'll wrap up here because we're going crazy. Do you think it might actually help him that he didn't get the endorsement?
It could. I mean, there's a make lemonade out of lemons quality mm-hmm. to it, sure.
How do you attack him as mega right-wing extremist when the party wouldn't even endorse him?
Well, and some of his supporters have pointed out a true historical fact.
Dan Evans.
Dan Evans didn't get the endorsement of the party in 1964. Mm-hmm. And that's a true thing.
Yeah.
So he needs to go find some of those people who helped Dan Evans figure it out and figure it out. There's still opportunity for him here.
Yeah.
But don't sell short Semi Burt. The guy has skills. He worked the convention more effectively than the better funded mm-hmm. and, in theory, better organized Reichert campaign did. And as I said, I think it's not even a matter of funding or organization. I just think Byrd's campaign was in better tune with how to work a convention than Reichert's was. And that's not a knock on Reichert's campaign. They just, I don't think they got it. I don't think they understood what it takes to win a convention, again, in the way that the superintendent of schools candidate Olson did mm-hmm. understand. And there were others too. The fellow who got the endorsement for Secretary of State is an interesting guy, completely new to politics, mm-hmm. no experience at all in politics, but an interesting personal yeah. background. And he did this, but he did the same kind of thing Olson did. His name's Whitaker. Mm-hmm. And he worked the size and shape of a convention effectively. And there are other stories to tell there. I mean, you discounted Sewell Keel Pearson, who got the endorsement ahead of Jamie Herrera for Commissioner of Public Lands. But she also understood it was a convention.
Right, but the convention, it means nothing. Jim, I hate to say that. I hate to put it that way, but...
We'll see if it means nothing.
Dave's... I agree that Dave should have showed up. 100% he should have showed up and showed hands.
A month before he wasn't going to show up.
I agree with you 100%. We're in line. I think he's running for November. And... I don't think he should have overlooked Republicans. Every single person in that room is someone whose vote he would ultimately need in November. And I think Semi is the opposite. Semi was laser focused on maybe he thought there was a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. He spent a lot of time securing those delegates and that endorsement. Now, I don't think that helps him win in November. So there's a little bit of almost which you could take their both candidates, fuse them together. They have the Semi strategy on the right and Dave's appeal on the... You'd have a perfect candidate.
Then the other candidate wins the election. That's an old Woody Allen joke. Okay, and that's a wonderful hypothetical. That's not reality. Yeah. The good news is I am also focused on winning in November.
Okay.
And the Washington State Republican Party is also focused on winning in November. And we are doing... the hard work, and we're taking the shots for doing the hard work in an open and transparent way to energize people who are not conventionally involved in politics. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to build on this, Brandy. This is the beginning. This is birth pangs. That's what this is. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of change. And I don't know where the end of change is. It's out there somewhere. Yeah. But... this is just the beginning, and I don't know if it's going to be finished by August or finished by November.
Better be finished by November.
Or finished by 2 years from now. I don't know where the terminus is. You know, Brandy, I don't think there is a finished by. Mm-hmm. I think change is a process, and it's ongoing, but we're in it, and we weren't in it 2 years ago. We're in it now, and I know this. Let's step away from all this convention talk. I can't go into Safeway anymore without people wanting to talk, mm-hmm. and people who don't agree with me wanting to talk. And they want to tell me that maybe they don't like me, maybe they don't like Republicans, but they think that we're on a better track to where they want to go than the other guys are. I wish I had a dollar for every time a suburban woman, archetypal soccer mm-hmm. mom, says to me, I hate you guys, but you're right, and I'm going to vote with you this time.
I do love that.
And so
Yeah.
I'm used to the duality of not being somebody's first choice, but we're right. Our policy points are right. Our reforms are right. Our law, our suggestions, our priorities for the law are right. Our priorities for the budgets and the fiscal house in the state are right. And what people are doing is they're learning to look past the R and the D, and they're learning to see, well, who's right? And what I hope people will see about this convention as we go away, as we move away from it, is who had the guts to do an open book, unscripted convention, and who put on another choreographed coronation.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones who ran a real convention and took the risk of looking foolish by telling the truth and giving new people to politics the chance to be heard.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on a lot of that. And I do want you to know, I mean, I'm always going to call balls and strikes as right. I see them. But one of the reasons why I have such strong feelings about how things went down and mostly how those things are perceived by independents and angry Democrats is because for the first time in 15 years, I feel like Republicans have momentum. I agree with you on that. The legislative session disaster for Democrats, the initiatives, how exciting is that? Candidates who have a real chance of winning. And so I see that and like the enthusiasm, and I just don't want infighting to take it down when there's so much potential there. So I'll promise you, and I promise Sammy Byrd to his face, if he gets the primary, I'm Team Sammy Byrd. Like, I'll do anyone but Bob. Do you believe you can bring, if the opposite outcome happens, if Dave Reichert makes it past the primary, do you believe you can bring Sammy Byrd supporters along?
Yes.
How?
They're learning. They're learning the process. They're learning to trust the process. They're learning that the convention was not rigged, that ultimately they were in control of the convention. They had to follow Robert's rules, but ultimately they were in mm-hmm. control. They're learning. Now, not all of them. We're always going to have a few who want to get in fist fights. And
saw that, yeah.
But the bulk of them, most of them, will. And they won't just vote themselves, Brandy. They will talk to their families. They will talk to their neighbors. And you're going to see, in November of 2024, places, precincts, neighborhoods that are the so-called, like, low-response voters voting.
Damn it, Jim. You won me over again. I give up. No, I do appreciate you, and you're just so smart. And, you know, I do think you're downplaying the insanity of some of the moments. However, I get
it. Ever been
it.
In love,
I get it.
Brandy?
I am currently in love with
aren't
my husband.
Aren't there moments? Aren't there moments?
No, we get along great. You know, actually, I recently moved a couch with him, and I've never wanted to strangle a human being to death so much. Can I say that? Yeah. Don't ever move a couch with anyone who you want to have any sort of positive relationship with moving forward.
And isn't the good so much better than those moments?
It is. All right. Go forth, win the state, save things, and I'll be there cheering you guys along.
I'm counting on it, Brandy.
Always a pleasure to have Jim Walsh on the show. He's such an interesting, he's incredibly sharp and intelligent. And, you know, it's hard for me, I think, he's got his job as the chair of the Republican Party. Now, whether what he's willing to sit here and say or how he paints the convention, obviously he's going to do that, keeping in mind that he doesn't want to alienate his party members or the candidates that they've just endorsed. But so I can see that kind of him wearing that cap of like, hey, I'm the GOP chair. I'm not going to sit here and say the candidates we just endorsed don't have a chance or whatever it is. But look, he makes some good points about at least we had an honest process. At least we can say that our process wasn't bought and sold and didn't have a predetermined outcome. And sometimes democracy isn't pretty. So I can appreciate all those things. I do. And I certainly do appreciate Jim Walsh coming on and sparring with me a little bit. How about you, Nicole? I mean, you were over there giggling during my during my Walsh interview. We don't, since it's not a live show, we don't have our regular comments or anything like that. So we thought we'd just do a little debrief. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think he says what he has to say sometimes. But, I mean, I like his hope. And I do agree he did show them that it's not rigged.
Yeah.
Like, you do control it, those of you that show up for this nonsense. And hopefully, you know, hopefully we can still move past it as a party and there it doesn't tank as bad as Culp did.
Yeah. So. Well, that's the thing is, I mean, you know, we all should want the same thing. And I feel like there is such a focus on like, I mean, I get wanting to have a candidate you believe in. I don't want anyone to have to sacrifice their morals and support someone they don't like because they have a better chance of winning. But ultimately, when the primary happens and if the results are what I think they're going to be, that's the moment where I hope the Republicans can get together because you really can't afford to have any dissent.
It's strategy. It's a game. I mean, it really is. It's a game. And how do you win a game? With a strategy. And you can't go in and, you know, just think that, like, you can't not prepare.
On a hope and a prayer. And like, I really like this guy.
It just works out because it's your favorite team or whatever it is. But I think you have to have a strategy. It's not that we don't like Semi Byrd. Like, we don't think he could be a good governor because, no, he'd probably make a lot of choices.
I think he's underqualified to be governor.
But. Sure. But I mean, I think we'd make a lot of decisions we'd support. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But is he the best candidate for the job? No. And could he win in a state like this? No. So I don't want to be a loser.
Yeah. At the end of the day,
I don't
want to
be a loser anymore. I want to get behind somebody that I think could win. And I don't understand the strategy because they don't have one. There is no strategy for winning. It is just... Let's do it.
His strategy seems to have been like focused on getting the party endorsement, which fine, but that's not going to do a lot for you. And winning Republicans isn't, that is like maybe 20% of the battle is winning the diehard party loyalists. What are you going to do now? Now you only have a couple months to the primary and then it's the general election before we know it. So interesting stuff.
I know. And I just have to say, I know some of these people hate me now, but I actually got along with him really well. We were very cordial and I say hi to him and I think he's a nice guy. He just can't win in Washington State. He cannot win the way that he is campaigning. And I just want
to. It is what it is. Like I'm not. Yeah, we don't have to apologize for saying that. This is what we do. I'm a political pundit. I'm telling you based on 15 years experience. Just like we knew Lauren Culp was going to crash and burn miserably. Mm-hmm. It has. At the end of the day, it's a numbers game. That's what it is. And we're in a blue state. And you think going further to the right is the solution? It's not. Like, let's try to get someone elected and chip away. Dave Ryker, is he the perfect candidate for conservatives? Maybe not. But you think we're going to go from a Jay Inslee, like, all the way far right? No, get someone kind of, let's just take baby steps, right? Yep. Anyway. All right, Nicole, thank you very much. And thank you all. This has been the first of a week of special episodes. We're going to bring you some in-depth interviews while I'm on vacation. Nicole is on vacation as well. And then we'll come back and we'll be in a brand new studio and we'll just keep charging forward till November. So we'll be back here tomorrow. And since we talked to a Republican today, someone who benefits, I think, a lot from some of this Republican infighting is State Senator Mark Mullett, a moderate Democrat who's running for governor. He's going to be our guest tomorrow. If you have not signed up to support our show already, please do so. It's just $5 a month. You can sign up at undividedpod.com. UndividedPod.com. While you're there, shop our merch store, and just get involved in the Undivided community. See you back here tomorrow.